This is the first session of the day. I know in California it is awfully early, so my guess is not too many of you are coming from there. But all of these sessions are being recorded, and we will make them all available here in the very near future up on the web. And just pay attention to the MVC Conf Twitter account, and you can get all of that information. My name is Eric Sowell. So this is my name, Eric Sowell. I'm not much of a PowerPoint guy, so you actually won't see any PowerPoint with me today. My email address, if you want to get a hold of me, is eric.sowell@gmail.com. On Twitter, I am Maliok. On GitHub, where you will find the source code for this, if you go to github.com/Maliok, you will see my stuff. And then if you're on that page, you can click this Evolving Ajax and ASP.NET MVC Practices, and there's all the source code from today. Check about 10 minutes after we're done, and you should have any final changes I decide to put in there. And finally, I have a blog, thecodinghumanist.com. Right now, these days, I'm blogging on some MVC stuff, some web stuff, some structure map stuff. So if you're interested in that, feel free to join me there. So, without any further ado, let's talk about our topic. So I've been using ASP.NET MVC since the first beta. And one thing I really liked about ASP.NET MVC is it was a lot easier to integrate Ajax into your applications. I very much liked that, and I still do. And so when I first started doing it, it was somewhat haphazard, but over time, my own practices have kind of evolved. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about some things that have evolved in my mo own mind on how to do this kind of stuff. And really, honestly, it's not all that overly complicated or super secret. It just kind of makes sense in my mind. So, of course, I'm sure some people have evolved further and have some comments. And at the end, if we have time, I'd love to hear them. So we're going to talk today about doing that. And the way we're going to do it is for the first 15 minutes or so, we're going to build a little bit of Ajax functionality into this app, which I'm about to show you. And then we're going to progressively evolve this code. We're going to refactor it to where it follows, I think, much better practices. So in terms of the starting code, this is what we have. We have a MVC web project. In terms of the views, we have nothing special, nothing new, nothing particular for this. The only thing to point out is in the layout, I have a reference to the templating stuff that'll be coming out with jQuery. I heard it was supposed to come out with 1.5, then I heard it didn't actually come out with 1.5. Hopefully, it will be coming out soon. And also, we have a reference to jQuery and all that jazz, and that's about it from this standpoint. So what we're going to do is we're going to build a page that does some Ajax work to go back to talk into a back-end repository. Now, that code is stored here. I've already written this because this is about Ajax and JavaScript, not about my code, in terms of most of the C# land. So here's my object. I have books. We're going to have this concept of books. Everybody's familiar with those. We have a repository, and because I don't really need a database for the demo, I've just got this list of books newed up, and in my repository, I'm just using link to pull that out of the list. And so this is our fake database. And let's see. Finally, I have structure map set up so I can take the interface for this stuff on the constructor. And so I'm all set up, ready to go to build pages. And we already have a little question. Now, first question is, are those Razor views? The answer is yes. All of these are Razor views. We'll be doing everything with Razor. I believe there's some discussions about Razor and different view engines in other sessions today. We're just going to be using this. The reality is, we're not going to be using much that's particular to Razor. The only thing that we will is how you define sections. Everything else will work just as well in any other view engine. So, Rafael Silva, no, I cannot hear you. I hope you can hear me. If not, I'm sorry. You may have to catch it in the video. Others said they can hear me earlier, so as far as I know, we're good. Okay. So that is the site as is. We have no other JavaScript that's in there as far as I know. No, we're good. Just the stuff that comes with the default project. And so let's go ahead and begin. We'll close some of these pages. So if we run it, we will see the rather bland and normal ASP.NET MVC template. Step one, let's create a new page. And for these first few minutes, if you're not very familiar with the AJAX support and ASP.NET MVC and doing AJAX with jQuery, this will be good for you, because then you can see a fairly basic implementation on how to do something. Then we'll move on to the refactoring. So I'm going to open up my home controller, and I'm going to create a new page, or a new controller action for a new page. All right, and I'm going to call it books, because I'm going to have my books right there. Return view. All right, and that is all that action result is going to do. Now let's go to layout, and let's add that to our menu. Add a link there. So we're going to create an action link. We're going to put the text books to the books action of the home controller. And we should see that here. We'll refresh the page, and here we go. Of course, when we go there, it'll tell us we don't have a view yet. So let's go there. We're going to go to the home, add new view, books. Cool. All right. So we have our basic page. Now we're ready to start putting some JavaScript in. So let's make sure our jQuery and everything is set up. So let's do open up a script tag. Let's go document ready. And for those who are not too familiar with jQuery, what's happening here is the document ready event is going to fire when everything on the page is loaded. And so if you want to make sure everything's down to the browser and all that before you execute some JavaScript, this is how you would do it. So let's refresh the page and hope that works. And if it does, we see the alert. We do. That means we have jQuery all set up and we're ready to go. All right, so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to create a list and a select of the authors that are in our repository. So let's go ahead and build that. So we have a select here, ID of authors, because we're going to need to reference that guy, so we'll give him an ID of authors. And I'm going to create a blank option in here. Also, things we should probably have, clearly I need to kill that JavaScript alert, is Fiddler, if you haven't noticed, is a very useful tool when you're doing AJAX stuff. And so I can really help diagnose basic problems with communication with your server, errors that are being thrown, whatnot. Later on, one of the things we'll build in is a way of being able to get some of the errors that are coming back and display it on the page, so you don't always have to move over to Fiddler to wonder if something is going wrong. So here's our Fiddler. We'll keep that open in the background for now and go to it occasionally to see how things are working. So we have our author list, we have our function. So let's go ahead and go back to the controller and create an AJAX call. So whenever I was started doing ASP.NET MVC and AJAX in it, usually when I needed an ad hoc AJAX call, I would just go to the controller and add it there, whatever controller I happened to be on. So we'll start there and refactor it later. So let's create a new action result. Let's say get authors. All right. So this is going to be the AJAX call back to get authors. Now we need our repository, right? So like I said, I have structure map all hooked up for us, so I can say iBook repository. And that's all there. So private iBook repository. Let's get this all saved off and we'll be good to go. So that's set up. So now what I can do is I can say, give me my authors. And this is going to return a list of strings. So we're going to say book repository.getAuthors. As you can see there, it returns a list of strings. So that gets me my authors, and I just want to return it back as JSON, so I'm just going to do that. And also by default, these actions do not allow you to do a get. So I'm just going to say, allow get in this case. And that should be all we need to get a JSON call set up on the server so we can call it from the client side. So That's done. So let's go here. All right, in our document ready, we're going to make that call. So let's do it. So the generic, the function in jQuery that allows you to, that gives you the most options and most flexibility when doing your AJAX is the actual AJAX function. There are some other functions that are shorthand that allow you to do it with a little bit less, but this is the easy way to do it. So we're gonna start with this one, at least the easy way to do it that also gives you full flexibility, and we're gonna need that later, as you will see. So let's do that. So AJAX call, we can take this an object, and what we can do is we can pass in there various things. Like for example, we want our URL, and so AJAX URLs work just like normal URLs with ASP.NET MVC. We have default routing set up, so it's going to be /home/git authors. So let's do that right here. /home/git authors. All right, so that's our URL. For grins, let's go ahead and give it a type of get. I believe that's its default anyway, but hey, there we go. And the other thing we're going to want to do is whenever this is successful, we actually want to execute a function. And so we can do it this way. We can say success function result, and let's alert for now that result. All right. So let's see if everything is all hooked up and ready to go. We'll reload the page, and this should be making our AJAX call. And here we go. We have all the names that are in my list of books. Cool. All right. Next step, what we want to do is we want to now take all of these options. We want to take all of these users, excuse me. Take them all, and we want to loop through them and create options and fill that list. So let's go ahead and do that. All right. So we've already had this function for success that's executing whenever this is done. So let's put that logic here for now. That kind of makes sense. We're not going to alert anymore. What we're going to do is we're going to loop. So this is coming back as an array. So let's create a for loop here. Length. All right. So let's create an option. Excuse me, IntelliSense. Option equals new option. So we're going to say result I. And what we're going to use for both the data and the value is we're going to use the same string. You know, often you pass back an ID of the author and whatnot, and that's normally what you would do. In this case, we have our very simple repository. And this should work fine for us. So we've created our option. Now all we have to do is we need to find our authors. There it is. And now we're going to append this option. And so what we should have whenever this call successfully completes is we should have our option then filled out with everyone there. And in terms of Fiddler, if you look back at this, you can see in Fiddler what's going on. If you haven't used Fiddler, most of you, maybe all of you probably have, this is really great for debugging and looking at what's actually being passed on the wire. So there's our data. We have a successful fill of this list. So the next step we want to do is we want to say whenever someone is chosen in that list, we're going to go back and get their books because we want to display a table of all the books for these users. So let's do that. All right, so what we want to do is we want to say, let's find that author's list again with jQuery, and we're going to attach to the change event, and whenever the change event fires, we are going to fire off this function. All right, and to make sure we have our person, let's alert the author's val whenever it's changed. So, reload the page. There we go. We got our person. So, let's do this next AJAX call. So, now we need to have another AJAX call to get the books for each individual author, whichever one we choose. So, let's do that. So, let's go back to our controller. Oops, I just pushed a button. And, okay, good. Okay, so we go back to our controllers. And just so you can see the difference in a get, a post, and you know, there's virtually no difference on the jQuery side, let's just go ahead and make this one an HTTP post. So, and also this means we don't really have to define a route for it, which is nice. So we're going to post to this get books for author, we're going to post the author there, and then we're going to get the data. So var books equals repository, excuse me, book repository, get books by author. Then we're going to return these as JSON. And we're done. And so looking at this, all this is doing is it's doing a link query over the books. So you can see here, it's going to order them by the title, and where the author is the author we're passing in. Return things as a list. It's fairly simple. So we're going to post to get this data, and then we're going to return it back and do something with it. All right, so let's go back up to our books page. So let's get this var author. Let's get this value because we're going to need to pass it on. So we're going to create another AJAX call. And we're going to do the same thing. We're going to create this little object here. And we're going to pass in a lot of the same stuff. So URL is going to be /getbooksforauthor. And let's misspell it real quick just so we can see what errors look like in all of this. And so we're going to post, and then for a whenever things are successful, you know, let's get this data back and do something with it, just like we did with the others. So function result. All right, alert that result out. And lastly, we need to pass the data, right? So we have the author. We need to make sure this gets down there. So let's do that. So we're going to pass it like so. All right. So let's run this and watch it break. Now, depending on what browser you're using, you may or may not see an error here when you're viewing things. And so when I look at this, I see, hey, nothing happened. I didn't get my alert. This is where Fiddler can be very useful. So I can see, oh, well, the resource cannot be found because I had a bad URL. And so, hey, Fiddler, cool. Thanks for showing me that. Later on, like I said, we'll have a little bit better error handling in this as we refactor. But at least starting off, Fiddler's really great to have. So let's go back, fix this, and reload the page. And then I have one hand up in Q&A. I will go check that. So let's see if our call was successful. It may not be. We might have screwed something else up again. All right, so resource could not be found. Get books for author. Let me make sure that everything is set up here. Get books for author. It is the same name and everything. I may not have, actually, I'm not sure I rebuilt, so maybe that's our problem. Ah, there it is. Okay. Yeah, so the problem was I hadn't rebuilt, and so therefore my code wasn't there. All right, hold it. Let me answer this question. Okay. One of our attendees is having issues with audio. I am sorry about that. Very sorry. Okay, so we have our page here. We're now posting back to get those books. So cool. So now let's go back here and say, what's the next thing we want to do? Well, we want to display this. So let's build a little bit of a display. Very simple one. Let's create a table, and just for grins, we're going to throw a width on here. No, we don't need that. That'll be fine. All right, let's create a header for this guy. All right, so we're going to be passing back three pieces of information. We're going to be passing back who the author is. So let's say author. We're going to be passing back what the title is, excuse me, and what the subject is, because those are our three fields. All right, so now we also want a body, because we're going to need to a pin stuff in here. And we're going to give this an ID, because we're going to need to be able to reference this to say, hey, add stuff to this table. So we're going to say, we're going to call this the book table body. All right. So now, instead of alerting, let's do something a little bit more useful. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen the templating stuff that is going to be coming out. It's actually very, very nice. I'm now going to give you an example of that. So what we're going to do is we're getting back a list of books, and we're going to throw this, we're going to create a template, and what we're going to do is we're going to mash that template up with that data, and then we're going to stick it right here as the children of this table body. So let's go ahead and create our template first. All right, so what does this look like? So this is how you would do it with the templating stuff. And just look up jQuery templates, I believe, in a Google search should get you where you would need to be on this. So we're going to call it a book template. Kind of makes sense. And it's got a really funky type, xjQuery TMPL. Who needs vowels, right? All right, so our template is going to be a new table row. And for each item, what we want to do is we want to output a table row, and then for the data, we're going to have, you have in here these little variables. So what this does is it's going to look for a property on the object called author. All right. So there's our template. Easy peasy. Cool. Okay. So here's our template. We now need to go to our JavaScript and say, take this data, which we've already done, and now what we want to do is we want to mash that template into it. So, all right, so let's see, how do we want to do this? So this functionality looks, it's actually kind of straightforward. So first of all, we want to find the template, right? And so then what we want to do is, this is a method on the templating bits. We're going to take the results. So we're going to say, find the template the results into that thing, and then append it all to the book table body, which is, I believe, what we call that. Book table body. Okay, so we're good. So let's run this and hope everything runs on a first try. Cool. All right, so we have our table, we have this. Let's try Ellen Lupton. Sweet. So you see what it's doing. It's taking that bits of data, it's mashing it to the template, and it's pushing it into the table. The only one I have in here that has multiple books is Charles Petzold, and so there you go. Now, you can already see that we have one issue, right? As you add more people, we are just basically pinning them to the page. That's obviously not what you would want. So we're going to go to the book table body, and we're going to empty this guy, and that's actually going to solve that issue. All right, so now we have all of our JavaScript basic functionality, and so we're not going to be adding much at all, if anything, to the basic functionality. What we're going to be doing now is refactoring and evolving this into something that works hopefully a whole lot better. I certainly think it is. And so this works in really on a number of different principles. Now, first of all, placement of your Ajax. Where does this belong? Actually, before I go into this, let me check Q&A to see what's going on. Do you know if Google can index the templates? If it is not executing the JavaScript, then the text won't be there, and so therefore it would not be indexing what happens from the output of the templates. Now, from the actual templates themselves, I do not know. That is a fine question. No idea. When would you use jQuery templates with JSON like you're doing here, and when would you use Ajax with partial views? Good question. My default used to be to use partial views and go back and get those. That actually works really well. It's a great little practice. The thing that is going to make your, well, here's the problem. It's going to make those JavaScript calls a little less useful. Because whenever you make your JSON callback, and if you're pulling back HTML, anytime you want to reuse that HTML, it has to be in exactly the same format as it was before, right? Because you're sharing a partial view. And so, does that work? Yes, but it's going to hurt your reusability. Now, if you're not worried about reusability on a particular AJAX call, then it doesn't really matter. You can just go ahead and do that if you want to. And also, if you want to do a lot more in terms of the generation of the HTML that's returned, that would be a good case for using partial views, because you're going to get a little bit more flexibility in doing that on the server side. So it depends on what you want to do. If you're going generic and reusable, then you don't want to do partial views and return HTML. If you're going specific and customized, then yes, that would actually work just fine. Okay, next question. Graceful degradation, progressive enhancement. I guess jQuery templates are all or nothing approach. Actually, I'm not sure exactly what you mean. If you mean they have JavaScript turned off, or if you're in a mobile browser that doesn't support JavaScript, this is clearly not going to work. And so, in this particular case, if you want to make sure it works for browsers that don't have JavaScript on, this is clearly not going to work. And so, in that case, you would want to just output the stuff to the page, do a post back, and get the text, and that's how you'd solve it. So, good question, though. How can jQuery templates plus AJAX be made more screen reader friendly? I would think, just follow normal accessibility guidelines. But honestly, I don't know. This is not an area that I know much. And so you will have to ask someone who is more up to speed on that than I. I've not myself spent much time with screen reader software. I'm a bad web developer, so I need to. But I do not know the answer to that. Next question. What is your general preference opinion on using AJAX versus the GET POST wrapper calls? My general preference these days is to just go ahead and use the regular AJAX call and not the shortcuts. The other ones work fine, but this just gives you a little bit more flexibility. And I would rather, when I'm doing my AJAX, just go ahead and use one instead of multiple. It's really the same thing as whenever I first started using MVC. I would sometimes use the AJAX helpers that were in MVC, and then sometimes use jQuery if they didn't quite handle it the way I wanted. And eventually I realized that I found that annoying. And so I decided, I'm just going to use one or the other. And so I'm just going to use straight jQuery. So I don't really use the AJAX helpers anymore. It's the same way with the AJAX call. It's not much more complicated, and it'll work for anything that jQuery will do. So that's why I go that way instead of the GET POST wrappers. From an SEO perspective, what is not being rendered in the initial page response is not going to be visible to a search engine. Absolutely. If it is important on this page that be there for a search engine, then this is not where you want to go. If you're building an internal app, or you're building an app that in the admin section, for example, of your app that you would never want SEO, yes, that really doesn't matter. But in the public-facing bits, this is going to be potentially problematic for your SEO. So it's all about, what are you doing? What is your actual goal of the page? But you're absolutely right. Without that, it's not going to execute the JavaScript. The search engine is not going to see that text, and so it's not going to be indexed. All right, can you or have you ever used a partial view to create the jQuery template? Yes, we were discussing this a little bit before. Actually, not quite the same. You can use the partial view to have the template. There would be no problems with that at all. I haven't done quite that. I've just inlined them into the page, but yeah, that's cool. How to do an AJAX call for a partial view to load this in a dialog form? As a jQuery dialog, you mean, or some sort of dialog? I'm not going to cover that today. I would just recommend looking it up. In terms of AJAX calls, all you have to do in Visual Studio is to go back here and say, instead of returning JSON, you're going to return this as a partial view. And that's going to come back as text to the browser, and then you can just deal with that as is and just inline it into the page. And so that's how you would do that. As in putting a dialogue, then that's a little bit out of scope for what we're doing. So I just search around for doing that. What is the difference between action result returning JSON and JSON result in the controller? And so the JSON method, if you take a look at it in IntelliSense, the JSON method is a shortcut for creating a JSON result. So the end result is no difference at all, because they're both returning the same object. I actually hardly ever have to new up action results themselves within the context of the controllers. Usually these helper methods work just fine because they're all going to return the same thing. So what's the difference? It's just a little less work. That's it. Okay, so we are out of questions, and so let's move on and start refactoring things. Okay, so first of all, this is something that makes me a little bit uncomfortable. Is I have my books page right now on my home controller. That may or may not be a good idea, but I have two API calls, two AJAX calls that are sitting on a controller called home, and these AJAX calls are for things called books. Well, that's kind of okay right now, but what happens when we get another controller and another controller? And then what happens when you have different controllers starting to need these same resources? What do you do? Do you try to name the controllers and move the AJAX calls to those? Well, yeah, I guess you could do that. What I started doing was to say, okay, forget this. If I'm going to make these reusable, if they're not going to be for a specific view, I'm just going to go ahead and create an area that is devoted to this. And so what I'll do is I'll do something like this. I'll go to add an area. I'm going to call it API. All right. We don't need to say our API registration. And so all of this stuff has to do with books. So I'm going to add a books controller here. And then I'm going to move this functionality there. Now to do that, it's a two-step process. First, I got to move the code. We'll have no user interface to this API. This is just meant to be a pure functional API for your code. So that's all that's here. We're not going to be creating views or anything. So we've moved those calls there. Let's also move this. The controller no longer needs a reference to that repository. So we're just going to move it right here. Change the name of that, pull in this reference, and then on the server side, we actually should be done just fine. The only thing we need to change now is, obviously, our route has changed because it's no longer at home. It is now at API books, get books for author. API books and get authors. And so here's your tip number one. If you're going to be making generic AJAX calls to be used throughout your application, separate them out. Don't put them in with your normal controllers. Create a specific controller for these, or a specific group of controllers for these. And I'm doing this through creating an area called API. And so logically, now where do I go if I want to get I want to call an AJAX call to get stuff about books? Well, clearly, I go to the API area and to the books controller to do that. It's a lot more logical, and it's a lot easier to find things, especially when your number of AJAX calls starts growing. Because I've definitely been in the case where I just haphazardly put AJAX calls all over my various controllers, and then later on I was like, all right, which controller was this on? And then I ended up making one controller calling AJAX calls to another controller, and I'm pulling my hair out and realizing this is a bad idea. So a few more questions. What is your high-level view on when to use MVC or a WCF web service? A fine question. I am not a poster child for WCF. I have messed around with it a little bit, and every time I've messed around with it, I've been frustrated by the amount of configuration and mess you have to go through to get it working. Now, it may be a little bit better than it used to be in that regard. I don't know. I've kind of avoided it. And really, my main reason for using just MVC for all of this is, I mean, look how easy this is. If this took a lot of work for me to, you know, build something, then maybe I would look elsewhere for WCF. But I've got this down to two lines. And if I went crazy, I could just put this in here and I would actually have one line. And so to me, it's a why would I do that? Now, there are cases where you might want to. But for me and all of my application needs so far, MVC just by itself has been plenty good for me. So so that's my opinion on that. Now, some people like, for example, the WCF REST toolkit, but you know what? This works great, and I have no reason. I have no friction in this, and I really have no reason to go back to WCF for that reason. So we have a note here. There are already initiatives to make AJAX-heavy apps indexable by search engines. Fantastic. That's cool. And then you can use this stuff a little bit more and have to worry less. All right. So last question. Can there be issues with having a repository as a property on the controller rather than initializing it in each action? Not really. That would actually work fine. And I used to go the property injection route. It's functional. Logically, I don't like it. And the reason why is when you have a property that does not in and of itself say this has to be here for this object to function. However, if you put something on a constructor, the implication is if you have to have this, and if you pass in a null, you're probably breaking something. And that's exactly what's true here. Both of these actions depend on this repository. And in terms of semantics, controller injection makes a lot more sense to me because it enforces right there to say, hey, you've got to pass in a book repository for any of this stuff to work. So that's why I go that route. It's primarily semantics. I use structure map. In most cases at work, we're using Unity, but in both cases, you can do property injection, and that works fine. But this has better semantics, and so that's why I go that way. All right, check out Glenbach's presentation later in the day on WCF and REST. That's a good idea. I believe, if I remember the schedule right, he is really close to the end of the day. So if you guys want to see WCF in action, check it out. So are you saying that it's best to separate your AJAX controllers from your normal HTTP post-GET controllers, i.e. having two book controllers, one for normal HTTP post and GET and other for AJAX? What I'm saying is this. If it's a generic JavaScript API that you're creating, that you can call from anywhere on any page in the app, and you want to be able to reference these, it makes more sense to have it on a more generic API controller. Now, going back to the discussion earlier of posting back, or excuse me, going AJAXing back and getting partial view data, if it is view specific, like if you're in your home controller and you need AJAX to AJAX back and get content specifically for this page and it's only for this view, then what I would do is I would put it right here in this controller, because you're localizing to say this page needs this AJAX. I'm going to put them together so when you're in your development, they're close by, and always having things close by that are related is very, very useful. And so am I saying to always do it? No. What I am saying is now when I make generic AJAX callable stuff, I move it to a separate controller so I can name it that way, and then I have a distinction between what is serving up views and then what may be serving up all of my AJAX calls. So that's my practice, and that's why I've generally gone there. Now, it's up to you if you want to do that, but that's my current practice, and it's been working out very well for me. How many more questions before you run out of time? Not too many. Good point. All right, so tip number one is to do that. Now, I don't remember if we've actually viewed the page again to see to make sure it still works. So we do only have 19 minutes left, so let's scoot on along to tip number two. So that's an organizational tip. I like that. The next thing is this file. So we look at this page, and this page is very big. It has some less than ideal practices in it. One of it is we have a large chunk of JavaScript here. And also, if I want to reference this AJAX call somewhere else, this AJAX API, you know what? I'm repeating myself. And so if I want to create a new page and I want to do this, my temptation would be to, you know, copy this thing into a new page and then just change the success function, because it's probably going to do something different than the other page. And so I'm going to try to keep this dry. I don't want to repeat this anymore. And so I'm going to separate this out into a new JavaScript file. So here's what I would do is I go to scripts, and you can do this however you want, but I would do this. I'd create a new folder. I'd call that folder API. And I'm going to create a new file. I'm going to create a new JavaScript file. There it is, right there. So I'm going to call this books.api.js. And so whenever I want to make API calls to books, all I have to do is reference that file, and then I can do all of that. And so let's start moving this functionality over there. And it's not going to be ideal at first because we're going to keep refactoring, but until then, this is what we'll do. So let's go here. First of all, let's create a new object. So we're going to call it Books API, and it's going to look like that. Okay, cool. Now that doesn't really do anything yet. So we're going to create a Books API. We're going to talk to the prototype here. Then we're going to do a little basic inheritance in JavaScript. We're going to say whenever you call get authors on a Books API object, execute this function right here. All right. So being suboptimal, let's first just copy this whole thing right here. Now, why is this problematic? Well, now this API call knows about that page. That's what we want to kill. What do we want to keep? We want to keep this, and we want to keep this and not have to repeat it. So we'll come back here in a minute and refactor that out. So if we go here, we can say var API equals new Books API. And we can say, just get authors. And our page should be functioning just the way it did before. And we have that code sectioned out into another. Oh, well, of course, if we're going to have this separate file, what do we have to do? We have to reference it. And so let me go ahead and do that right now. So for grins, I'm just going to throw this right now into the top of the page. Of the master, layout. Bad habits, die hard. All right. So I have this. Here's my Books API JS. And so now when I go back, we should be good because the JavaScript file should be referenced. It should be calling get authors, and we're functioning just the way we did before. Now let's do the same thing with the other function. And let's do this right here. Copy this bit out. We're going to go back here. We're going to say Books API. Talk to the prototype. Get books by author. All right. Now my C# is kicking in. Anybody else do that, or is it just me? All right. I'm going to put this here, and once again, we have the same problem as we had with the other. Except, obviously, I need to pass in the author, right? So here we're going to say api.getBooksByAuthor. We're going to pass in that author. Now, we do have at least a better page because we don't have as much inlined JavaScript, and so the browser will be able to cache this. So it's at least a little bit better. Still problematic, but at least a little bit better. So let's make sure everything still works. We are good, or are we not good? Okay. So let's see. Get API. Get books by author. Let me make sure everything is here. Is in order. We're taking this in API books. Get books for author. All right. So if all else fails, Control Shift I gets you to the developer tools, and so we can look here in Chrome. Are you guys Chrome users? Books API reference is not defined. Oh, so I have a missed capitalization. So let's hope that is the only issue. We appear to be good. Hey, we're good. All right, so we're back to exactly where we are. Okay, so we want to move things out. That's a better JavaScript practice. We haven't moved everything out yet, but we'll get there. So next things. First of all, this is not reusable at all, right? This has the same problem with using partial views, is that this file is now hooked up specifically to that page because it has to know about elements within the page. So instead of doing it this way, let's do this. We're going to pass in this function. Instead of putting that in this nice, theoretically reusable file, we're actually going to put these bits out back into the page, and then just pass into the function what you want to do on a successful call. So that right there, I think, should work as is. And so we do get authors, pass this in. This is going to be our success function. We're going to use that, and in theory, this is going to work. Now, this is also not ideal because apparently I left something out. It's also not ideal because if you look at this, you're like, okay, we have a function that we're sending in, but what does this function do? From the API perspective, you're looking at this and you're going, I actually have no idea what's going on, what the actual use of this is. So this is not ideal. Well, first of all, let's at least fix this particular call right here. So and then we'll solve our naming problem here in just a second. So here's our closing brace. Let's once again go to our nice little developer tools and let it tell us exactly where we need to be. We apparently have a bad token in our API file as well, so let's go back and fix that. Okay, so yep, there's our problem right there. So we have that extra mustache in there. Now we have an extra parentheses here. Let's see. Function success. Da, da, da. Oh, that needs to be there. Now we need, let's see. Hold on 1 second. So we have our AJAX call. We're passing in this. This is a success. This closes this guy off right here. This guy is actually should be correct. So maybe I didn't save it before. Sorry, folks. This is one of the fun things about JavaScript that you may have noticed before. Sometimes you have to go, what in the world is going on here? What did I leave out? Oh, I was looking at the wrong file. All right, so function is, we're missing a function dealy whopper right here. So let's see if this gets it. Unexpected token. All right, so we're still missing something right here. Always think through these things, and that's always the best way to do it. So we have our for loop here. Our for loop ends, which means, cool, it means we still need to close off our function right here, because this mustache closed this mustache, so this mustache will close this mustache. And now let's reload and hope everything is good. Hey, sweet. So we're, in theory, functional. Okay, so we're good. All right, so that's always the fun about moving JavaScript around. Okay, so now we're better. This is now reusable, right? Because what happens on a success can now just be defined by the page itself, and so you don't have to have this specifically in the API file. This gets you back to your reusability, which is very nice. Let me glance at the QA questions. Fortunately, some people were fixing my errors for me. I probably should have looked at those guys. But hey, I figured it out. What was the Chrome extension you were using? That's actually the built-in developer tools. Just look in the tools and you'll find it. Yes, they do come out. Alright, I'm gonna skip around on most of these. URLs you are using are absolute, assuming the application will be deployed root relative, yes. What would you suggest to use to keep an order to your relative to the application root? The tilde function for getting to the application root does not work, obviously, in JavaScript. That's an ASP.NET functionality bit. What would my recommendation be? My recommendation would be to try to avoid going that way entirely. I do not know of an awesome way of solving that problem if you're going to be changing your root. The way I've solved it is just to not change my root, and that makes things a lot easier. If you are not in that situation, I pity you, and I'm not sure what the best way to do that. I've messed around with different options of outputting that to the page. Nothing I've seen is anything less than very messy for solving that particular problem. Okay, so create this API class. We've now made this guy multifunctional. We can now use this on every page. Now, what I normally would do, and what I was planning on doing, was going and refactoring this guy as well. But we're going to run out of time, so I'm not going to do that because I want to get to all the basic tips. So let's not refactor this guy anymore for now and just leave him as is. So now I want to explain something else. So jQuery has this neat thing called extend. Has anybody used that before? It's quite cool. So what we're doing is, in this particular case, we're passing in an object. And this object has these particular properties. The problem with going this way, or at least one of the problems with going this way, is now if we want to add a new parameter to this function, we're going to have to add it here. Okay? And now if we want to add another parameter, we're going to have to add it here. And so we're always growing this parameter list, maybe not ideal. Especially when, if your parameters, for example, are named and then the semantics of it get weird because you're pushing things all around. This is a little bit less than ideal. So what I've started doing, in most cases, is doing something very similar to this right here, even for API calls. Okay? And so instead of passing in success, I'm going, and you'll see in a minute why this is even more advantageous. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pass in some options. Same thing. So let's open this up right here. And also I'm going to hope that I don't get any more syntax errors, because you know those are always very embarrassing. So here, now I've turned this into an object that we're going to be passing in. So here's now my options. And I want to say options.success, and then we should be good to go, assuming I didn't leave out a mustache or something like that. Okay, we're good. We're working. All right. So that's all fine and good. Now, here's another place I would go. Let's say we want to solve one particular problem of error handling. And we'll get into the jQuery extend and how that'll fit here in just a second. So one thing I've added at the bottom of my layout page is error display. Okay? Error display, it's just a div that I can stick stuff in. It has a border around it. And it's very obvious if there's an error, hey, boom, something's going to show up on the page if we stick it in here. And of course it's display none, so it's not going to show up unless you show it. And so what you can do for the just general jQuery API is this. Is you can say error, and it's going to pass in, if there is an error, for example, and it's going to pass in the error here, and then you can recover from that error however you would like to do so. So if I remember right, it's response text is the thing that comes back that tells you the actual response text of the page. And just so we get an error, let's misspell that. So we'll get the resource not found. All right? And so we should get then, sweet, we get our error back. So we're alerting the whole big yellow screen of death that you would get from an ASP.NET application whenever you do something wrong. Now, one negative we have here is I have to change my resolution to close this alert box, which is pretty negative, because that is too big. So let me change that real quick to that. I mean, that's actually kind of pathetic, isn't it? As you can see, I didn't try this on this resolution, this part of the demo. C'est la vie. All right, so I'm going to close that, and now I'm going to go back because everything is now way too small. All right. 1280 by, I believe, 900 is what we were at. Okay, so let's keep that. All right, that looks a little stretched, but we'll be fine. So we don't want to alert it. What we want to do is instead put this in that error div that we have here, so error display. And so this is beneficial because whenever you're getting errors like this and you don't have Fiddler open, you have no idea what's going on. If you do have Fiddler open, then you have to change and move over to the other application to see it. What would be more convenient is to just be able to do this right here. We're going to put in the HTML for this guy, this response text. All right, and now we of course need to make this thing appear, right? So let's do that. Sweet. So now when there's an error, it's going to show up in your page. And of course you wouldn't want to show this to end users. So what you might want to do is wrap this little bit of HTML in something that'll hide it whenever you're in the production environment, but show it in the development environment. That's up to you. However you want to do that, but you definitely would not want to show this to your end users. We have some things like this at my work that we just wrap in some server-side comments that look at the environment and figure out where it should be, when it should be shown and when it shouldn't be. I'm pretty sure my resolution is off. Let me go ahead and change this one more time. See if I get a little bit closer. Still off. All right, I think we're good in terms of what resolution we were at before. All right, I'm about to run out of time. I am so sorry about that. So the next steps, just so I'll say it, and you can look at the source code to get other examples of these. The next thing I would do is I would actually move this AJAX call into a separate file, into a separate API file. And so you would then reuse that in all of your API calls for get authors and get books by authors. So reuse that, and then this little bit right here would live in the base API file. Because then for every API file, you don't have to actually recode this error block. And the last thing I would say is look at jQuery extend. So it looks something like this. And so if you go in here and you say .extend, you pass in object 1 and object 2. What it will do is it'll mash these together, where it'll say, you know, I'm going to default some things in object 1 and then pass in some things here that were in options. And so it's going to mash what's in options and overwrite what's in here, and then you can use those defaults. That can be very helpful as well when you're building reusable things. But I am out of time now, and Javier and John and Eric will totally beat me up if I go over. So, there is a problem with this, and once again, I would talk about it, but we're out of time. I wish I could talk more. I will jump in on the IRC chat right after this session. And so if you have any further questions, please, let's talk about it. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys got a lot out of it. The source code is, once again, up on GitHub, github.com/Malloc. You can get this and take a look at it yourself. And this is a fuller version of what we went through here. Not much fuller. It's the same basic idea, the same basic AJAX calls. But yeah, this is a fuller version checked in for you to look at. Once you wait about 30 minutes to get it, there's a few other changes I wanted to push to it, or just get it twice. So anyway, thanks for everything. I really wish I could answer all these questions. I think, as someone implied earlier, I probably spent too much time answering them before and wasn't able to finish, but I'm glad we had a good discussion. And always, if you want to talk to me, my IM as well is malloc@msn.com, or you can email me or talk to me on my blog or whatever. I try to remain open for everybody. So thanks a lot again, and I hope you guys enjoyed it and didn't mind bearing through my syntax errors. So enjoy, guys.